Well, on Sunday mornings, we've been looking together at Matthew's Gospel, and we've been picking out especially passages which focus on Jesus' disciples. Last week, we were looking at the end of chapter 12 of Matthew's Gospel. In that passage, we saw Jesus teaching a crowd of people in a house. The house is crowded, there are people everywhere, and Jesus' own disciples are sitting around his feet. And then Jesus' mother and brothers arrive, his natural family. They don't come into the house. They stay outside. And they expect Jesus to come out to them, because they've got something they want to say to him. Someone tells Jesus that his family are outside waiting for him. And Jesus says this, chapter 12, verse 48. Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Well, I don't want to repeat everything I said last week, but I do want you just to see again what an amazing and wonderful privilege God had given to these men, to Jesus' disciples. I'll sum it up in three phrases. Number one, Jesus had chosen them to be near him. Jesus' own natural family, they're outside. In terms of physical relationships, they think they're close to Jesus, but they're on the outside. And meanwhile, sitting in a circle around Jesus are his disciples. He's the everlasting Son of God. He's the Holy One. Before he came into the world, he sat on the throne of heaven, shining in glory, and the angels hid their faces from him. But these men are allowed to come near. Jesus has chosen these fallen, sinful, damaged men to be near him. Secondly, Jesus had chosen them to listen to him and to learn from him. You remember we said that's what it meant to be a disciple in ancient Israel. That's the meaning of the word. The teacher would allow certain people to sit at his feet so that they could listen to every word he spoke, so that they could learn everything he had to teach them. He would accept them as his students, his pupils. And then he would teach them everything he knows. The disciples are allowed to go with their teacher wherever he goes. And he opens his mind to them. And he explains everything to them. Well, Jesus, the Word of God, the living wisdom of God, had chosen these poor, ignorant, uneducated men to be his disciples, to listen to him, to learn from him, to enter into his thinking. And then thirdly, Jesus had chosen these men to be his family. That's what he says. Here are my mother and my brothers. These men are going to share Jesus' life. He loves them. He depends on them. He's going to be loyal to them, come what may. There's an unbreakable bond between him and these men. He's the eternal, the almighty. He's the creator. And they're human beings with bodies made out of dirt. They live a few brief years in this world and then they're going to die and they're going to return to dust. They're so ephemeral. And yet Jesus says, they're my brothers. We belong together. They're my mother. I need them as they need me. Jesus has chosen to create that sort of relationship between himself and those men. He's chosen them to be his family. Now, I say that Jesus has chosen them to be near him, to listen to him, to be his family. And it's often put that way in the Gospels. Jesus said to them on another occasion, "You have not chosen me, I have chosen you." But remember this, that when Jesus chose them, he did it because he knew that God, his Father in heaven, had already chosen them. When Jesus chose them and called them to himself and gave them that special status, he was only carrying through the choice that God, his Father, had made before the foundation of the world. Just for a moment, in your mind's eye, try and see the picture. Jesus is, he's sitting there in that house with his disciples around him, a group of fishermen and tax collectors, with their weather-beaten faces and their peasant clothes. And the reason that they are sitting there around the Son of God, the reason that they are his friends, his students, his family, is because he has chosen them. And the reason that he has chosen them is because the Father chose them before the world was even made. Now, in the next chapter, which I'm not going to look at in detail, but which we're going to glance through, you'll see very clearly the emphasis on the fact that God has chosen them. The whole reason why they've got these wonderful blessings, it's not that they've earned them, it's not that they've won them for themselves in any way, it's not that they deserve them. The only reason they have this special position is that God has chosen to give it to them. It all springs from God's choice. That's made so plain in chapter 13. In chapter 13, verses 1 to 8, Jesus is preaching to huge crowds of people. Lots and lots of people come to hear him. But those people go away baffled. Why? Because Jesus preaches in a baffling way. He simply stands up and tells a story. A story that seems to have nothing to do with God, nothing to do with religion, nothing to do with worship, or God's laws, or faith. He simply stands up and tells an everyday story. A farmer went out and sowed seed. Most of the seed fell on poor ground and was wasted. Some fell on good ground and produced an abundant harvest. If you've got ears, hear that. End of story. End of sermon. Utterly bewildering. Utterly baffling. Our translations use the word parable to describe these stories that Jesus told. But remember that the word parable is just the equivalent in the Hebrew Old Testament for the word riddle. That's what the story was. It was a riddle. It was a baffling puzzle, which nobody's going to understand unless they've got the key to it. And that's what Jesus gave the crowd. He simply stood there and told them a riddle. about a farmer and his seed, and he didn't explain the riddle. He didn't give them the solution to it. Well, when the crowds have gone, and Jesus' disciples are alone with him, they turn to him. They're puzzled. They want to know why. Why deliberately talk to people in ways that they won't understand? Why tell the crowd riddles? The disciples came to him, verse 10, and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And Jesus says this in verse 11, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them." He says to his disciples, you are allowed to know God's secrets. God has given that privilege to you, but he's not given it to them. And he says, God is going to carry on giving to you. You're going to understand more and more, simply because God wants you to know. Here's the promise in verse 12, whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. God has already allowed them to know things that others don't know. They know who Jesus really is. They've had their eyes open to recognize that he's the Messiah. They know that the kingdom of God has arrived. They've been given so much already. And Jesus says, you're going to be given more and more. But what about other people? What about the people God has not chosen? Jesus says, whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. God's going to take their understanding away from them, even the little understanding they do have. They're going to understand less and less. They're going to become more stupid, more blind, less capable of seeing things clearly. The more they listen, the less they'll understand. And Jesus says, verse 13, that's why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they don't see. Though hearing, they don't hear or understand. That's how it was for the crowds who came to listen to Jesus. They came thinking that they had understood a certain amount at least. But when they went away saying, well, I didn't get hold of that at all. Some nonsense about farmers and seed he was going on about. Didn't make any sense to me. Jesus says, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be hearing. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. That's God's judgment upon these people. God has handed them over to blindness, to spiritual deafness. They can't see, and they won't see by God's decree. They can't hear, and they won't hear. They can't grasp the truth, and they won't grasp the truth. And instead of making the message clearer and clearer, simpler and simpler for their benefit, Jesus is making it harder and harder for them to understand. That's why he's talking to them in riddles. That's why he's giving them puzzling stories. It's God's judgment upon them. He's stripping away knowledge, understanding from them. Now don't misunderstand. Jesus isn't telling the disciples that this is the way they are normally to preach to unbelievers. He's not saying that whenever we speak to unbelievers, we're to do it in baffling riddles and parables. No, once again, Jesus is giving a visible sign of what really happens whenever the truth is preached to people whom God has not chosen. They are left baffled. They cannot grasp it. And in fact, they become less and less capable of thinking clearly and thinking rationally. You see it very often with people who have been exposed to the gospel. Maybe they've grown up in Christian homes and they've rejected it. And now you talk to them 20 years later and they're explaining to you why they don't believe. And they're trying to argue against the Christian gospel. And they come out with such nonsensical stuff. They come out with such irrational arguments that you begin to think that something's gone wrong in their brain. It seems they've lost the capacity to think logically at all. It's just what Jesus says here. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Paul says it in Romans 1. God gave people over to a depraved mind. A mind fit for nothing. A mind that can't think straight about anything. He says it again in 2 Thessalonians 2:11. God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. The truth about God and the world and themselves and the purpose of life, it just becomes a riddle that they can't make head or tail of. And however hard you try, you can't break through the muddle of their minds. Because God is hardening them, and God is making them blind, and God is making them deaf. God is stripping away understanding from them. These words in Matthew 13, verses 13 to 15, have horrified many Christians, real Christians, when they've read them. And they've tried to explain away these verses. But Jesus says it so plainly. He says, I speak to people in parables. Why? Because it is not God's plan that they should understand. No, God has handed them over to ever-increasing blindness. God has handed them over to hardness of heart. And it's knowing that that gives the first word of verse 16 its tremendous power. But, Jesus says to his disciples, blessed are your eyes because they do see. And blessed are your ears because they do hear. God has given to you what he's not given to other people. He's given to you the ability to see, the capacity to hear, the ability to understand and to believe the truth. While he's been stripping away understanding from other people, he's been giving it to you. Jesus says to his disciples, you're allowed to understand things which nobody else in all history has been able to understand. He says, I tell you the truth. Many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but they didn't see it. They longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. You know, if the ability to understand came down to being cleverer than other people, well, there must have been people in the crowd who were brighter than these fishermen. If it came down to what people deserve, well, there were righteous men in the past, says Jesus, and they didn't see the things that the disciples see. If it came down to wanting, to having a great desire to understand, well, the prophets from the past longed to see and understand, and they didn't. So what does it come down to? Why does this little circle of men know truths that no one else has ever grasped? Why do they glimpse the glory of Jesus? How come they understand who Jesus is? Why is it that they recognize the kingdom of God is among them? Why are they believing in Jesus and trusting him and worshipping him? Why are they his friends, his pupils, his family, when Mary and his brothers are still outside? Answer is there in verse 11. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. It is simply God's free gift. God has chosen to give to these men something that he has not given to the crowds, something that he didn't even give to the prophets and righteous men of Old Testament times, something he's not even given to Mary and to Jesus' brothers. He's given it to these men just because he chose to. And now that he has opened their eyes, now that he's given them that gift of knowledge, understanding, faith, he's going to give them more and more. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. And that's what you see Jesus doing then in the rest of chapter 13, giving the disciples more and more. While the crowds get more and more baffled, Jesus' disciples see things more and more clearly. Jesus starts in verses 18 to 23 by explaining to his disciples the hidden meaning of this parable of the sower. They're allowed to know. The crowds went away without ever hearing an explanation. But Jesus has chosen these men to receive understanding which others can't have. In verses 24 to 33, Jesus tells a string of further parables, more baffling riddles, about a farmer who has an enemy who sows weeds in his wheat field and what the farmer does about it, about a mustard seed which grows to become a giant tree with birds nesting in its branches, about a woman who mixes yeast into her dough. And this is what we read then in verse 34. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He didn't say anything to them without using a parable. Never gave them a word of explanation. All they got were these strange riddles, stories that left them baffled and confused. But then, verse 36, Jesus left the crowd and went into the house. And there, in private, his disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." And Jesus explains the parables to them. Because you see, God has chosen them to know, to understand. They've already been given so much, and now they're being given more. You can see in verse 51, Jesus asks his disciples, after he's finished all the parables, "Have you understood all these things?" And they answer, "Yes." If you put the same question to the crowds, they'd have said, "Didn't get it. Didn't get any of it." But Jesus' disciples can say, "Yes, we've understood." But why? Because they're more capable of understanding riddles than other people are? No, they're not. But Jesus has chosen them to be his disciples. And that means that they're allowed to be near him. And they're allowed to listen and learn things that other people can't listen to or learn. And because he treats them as his family, and he's got no secrets from them. Well, the circle of the disciples was a very small circle at that time. But let's turn forward for a moment to the very last verses of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. And verse 16 onwards. These verses tell the story of how Jesus parted from his disciples and the commands he gave to his disciples before he left this world and returned to heaven. The verses focus on the disciples. You see verse 16. Matthew 28:16, it's about the 11 disciples. They went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And Judas, of course, had gone his way. That's why we read of 11. He'd betrayed Jesus. He'd shown that he had never really known the Lord Jesus. But now the 11 are in view. and they're getting their marching orders. Verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, do you see the force of what Jesus is saying? He's talking to his disciples, to the original little circle. And he says to them, now I want you to go and enroll countless people, people from all nations, to join your number, to become disciples too. And as the mark that they're becoming disciples, he says, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and then teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. So all the secrets that Jesus has entrusted to the original disciples, they are now to share with a much wider circle of disciples. These 11 men have been chosen by God to be the first disciples and to know God's secrets, to listen and to learn from Jesus. But now we see that God has chosen a huge number of people from all the nations of the world to join the company of the disciples. And they are going to understand the truths that others can't understand. They are going to be taught just as the original disciples were taught. All the honours, all the privileges, the blessings which were given to the first disciples are given now to Jesus' disciples from all nations. That little circle has become a huge circle, but they still have the same privileges because they are still disciples. They're chosen to be near Jesus. They're chosen to listen to Jesus. They're chosen to be Jesus' family. Many of us here this morning are Jesus' disciples. We spend our lives near Jesus. We're allowed to know him. We're allowed to draw near to him, and we do. We come into his presence daily, consciously, and he draws near to us. And when we're struggling, he's there. And when we're lonely, he's there. And when we're tempted, he's there. And when we need to talk to him, he's there. Just like the original disciples, we have been chosen to be near Jesus. And we're listening to him. We're learning from him day by day. Every day we see things we never saw before. Things fall into place. We grasp things about God and his plans that we've never grasped before. We understand more about God's will, about his commandments, how we're to keep them. We see truths about ourselves and we understand our own personalities better, and our own needs and our own sins. We understand Jesus better, who he is, what his promises to us mean. And we know that in all this, it's Jesus himself who's teaching us. It's his Spirit who's instructing us, and who's sorting out our thinking, and who's removing our biases. It's Jesus himself we're listening to, and he is teaching us just as certainly as he taught the first disciples. Does it now through his book. We don't hear his voice physically the way the first disciples did. But as we read this book, and as we think about it in our meetings, we find that fresh truths are breaking into our minds all the time. And we know that it's not just a natural process. It's Jesus himself who's among us, and he's teaching us by his Spirit, just as he taught his first disciples. That's what's happening when a church meets. Jesus' disciples are gathering around Jesus, just as much as when the circle of disciples met around Jesus' feet here on earth. We sit at the feet of Jesus, and his Spirit comes among us. And it's amazing what happens. You know, some of us are relatively highly educated, and some of us have had very little education, and some of us have been Christians many years, and some of us are babies in Christ, and some of us are old physically, naturally in years, and some of us are young. But we come and we sit together at the feet of Jesus, and then we go away from the meeting saying, we've learned together. It's amazing. Jesus, the Master, who knows the mind and the heart of every one of us, he comes and he opens our minds, and somehow mysteriously we're all taught, and we all go home saying, Jesus was there and he taught me through his book. And this process goes on and on. You know, when we first understood the good news, when our eyes were first opened to Jesus Christ, we thought, wow, that's amazing. Our eyes had been opened and we thought we'd seen it all. The things we saw were so big, so wonderful, that we thought, I've learned enough to live on for the rest of my life. But since then, every day, we've been learning more. And the Lord Jesus has shown us more and more wonderful things. And at a point we thought, well, that must be the end of it now. We must have sort of penetrated the final secret. We must have caught seen the final glory from the Bible. But then there's been more. You know, there have been those times in our Christian lives when a truth, a particular truth, has broken in on us for the first time. Perhaps we've known it in our heads before, but now it's as if suddenly we've understood it for the first time, and it's been overwhelming. You know, for some of you, there was a day when you first really understood the doctrine of justification. That great truth that we are counted as totally innocent, perfectly holy in God's sight, that he has declared us not guilty once for all, forever. And it was like a nuclear bomb going off in your heart. And you thought, how could I have been a Christian for so long without understanding that? Or maybe there was a day when the doctrine of election suddenly made sense to you, and it blew your mind. But it did more than that. It brought you to your knees, worshipping God in amazement and joy and thanksgiving. And again you wondered, could I have been a Christian before? If I never grasped that, it's so big. Maybe it was the doctrine of the world to come, the new heaven and new earth. At last you understood how it all fitted together, and everything in life made sense at all, and everything took on new meaning. It was just such a huge step forward. And you knew that it was Jesus himself who had opened your eyes. Yes, it came to you through the Bible. Yes, you were helped by that series of sermons. Yes, you'd been reading that book. Yes, it was in the fellowship of the church that you learned these things. But it wasn't just that. It was Jesus himself speaking to the heart of the disciple who was sitting at his feet. Of course, the learning process isn't always as dramatic and explosive as that. Often it's just one new thought, one more building block, one more promise that you take hold of, but always you know that it's Jesus himself who's teaching you. We're allowed to be near Jesus. We're allowed to listen to Jesus and to learn from Jesus. And we know we're his family. And perhaps that's the most overwhelming thing of all. To kneel here on earth. To know that Jesus is sitting in his glory on the throne of heaven at the Father's right side. And to say, he's my brother, you know. He's my brother. To feel your own sinfulness, your own weakness, and still to know that Jesus calls you brother, mother, sister, that he feels himself to be linked with you that closely. It's not just that you feel linked to him, but that he feels linked with you, that you can't feel anything without him feeling it with you. His heart feels every beat of your heart. You and he are Siamese twins that will never be separated. His life and yours are joined forever. If we're disciples of Jesus, that's what it means. He says it's not only the first circle of disciples. It's all who do the will of my Father, who my brother and sister and mother. He started by talking about the awesomeness of the privilege that Jesus gave to these first disciples. In a way, it must have been almost frightening for them. It must have sent a shiver down their back when Jesus pointed at them and said, here are my mother, my brothers. But Jesus sitting in glory today, Jesus who has all authority in heaven and on earth, points to every person in this room who has trusted him, who has begun to live a life of faith and obedience. He points at you and he says, here's my mother, here's my brother, here's my sister. The angels who gather around the throne look down with awe at you and say, there's Jesus' brother, there's Jesus' sister. And why do we have that status? Because God chose to give it to us. And no other reason. Perhaps you can remember long years when you were like the people in the crowd. Just baffled, just incapable of understanding a word of this Christian gospel, completely hardened and blind and deaf, and you would still be there if God had not stretched out an irresistible hand to open your blind eyes and to open your deaf ears and to change your stubborn heart and to bring you to the feet of Jesus. What makes the difference between the disciples who have so much and will be given more and more and more and the crowds who have so little and from whom even the little will be taken away? What makes the difference between you and the people who live without Christ and who are going to a lost eternity? What makes the difference? Is it that you were wiser? Is it that you were cleverer? Is it that you had a better disposition? No, it was God's choice and God's choice alone. And that thought ought to bring you to your knees in amazement and thanksgiving. Why me, O Lord? Why me out of all the millions of men and women around who know nothing? Why did you soften my heart when you were hardening the hearts of others? Why did you give me sight when you were blinding others? Why did you pull me away from my sins when you were handing others over to their sins? Why did you save me? And the only answer you will get is, because I chose to. He loved us because he chose to love us. Nothing in us to deserve that love. Nothing in us to win it. Nothing to persuade God to love us. Simply his own heart. He chose to love us and to bring us to Christ. If we're disciples of the Lord Jesus today, we're the most blessed people in the world. And it is all because he set his love upon us. May God apply his word to our hearts.